10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Democratic National Convention underway in Chicago. Day one found streets around the United Center filled with protesters trying to force policy changes, matched nearly one-to-one by police.
Wearing their regular blue shirts instead of riot gear, Chicago police on bikes have kept the protests peaceful. Mayor Brandon Johnson says the blueprint has been in the works for years.
The city of Chicago is really good at things like this. It's the reason why we have hosted more national political conventions than anywhere else in America.
Another protest is planned for tonight by a group with an ominous slogan, "Make it great like 68. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Chicago.
Unsaid how they died or when, but Israel's military says it recovered the bodies of six people taken captive during the Hamas sneak attack last October. More than 17,000 AT&T technicians, field workers, and customer service personnel in nine southeast states are on strike. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four men accused of killing Devante Mitchell outside a Milwaukee hotel will stand trial for murder. According to the criminal complaint, two security guards, a bellhop, and a front desk worker pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. They're each charged with being party to a felony murder and could face up to 15 years and 9 months in prison. In a hearing Monday, all four were bound over for trial. They're expected to enter pleas on Thursday. And Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz are headed to Wisconsin Tuesday. They'll host a rally at Fiserv Forum. These rallies have become big, energetic events, so you can expect a lot of people in the Deer District area. Walz at the Democratic National Convention Monday.
Just came from the Wisconsin breakfast, and the blue wall is solid, people. The blue wall is solid.
Civic Media will have special coverage all week from Chicago. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers are in St. Louis tonight to take on the Cardinals, who are in second place, 11 games behind Milwaukee. The crew coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend. NFL, the Packers back at practice after losing to the Broncos 27-2 Sunday night. On Thursday, they'll host the Ravens for a joint practice session, then play their final preseason game Saturday at noon. Hockey, it was announced that both the Badgers women's and men's hockey teams will compete outdoors in Chicago on Saturday, January 4th, the Badgers women's team against Ohio State, the men's team against Michigan State, the Badgers men's head coach Mike Hastings on getting the chance to play an outdoor hockey game inside Wrigley Field.
Iconic place to go and watch a baseball game, let alone a hockey game. With having the Winter Classic, having the Big Ten presence, having our women's program there, these are opportunities that are lifelong memories.
That's Badgers hockey coach Mike Hastings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
The next Nightlight is only available on Facebook, X, and YouTube. I discuss America's favorite movie snack with popcorn guru Chris Anderson. And award-winning director Justin Superstar joins me to talk about his new film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at only around 5-ish here through the day. Tonight, partly cloudy, 51. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 78 by Thursday. Partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So...
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're live on location for the Democratic National Convention here at the United Center in Chicago. Great guest, Trigby Olson from the Lincoln Project, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Black Crowes and Pam Yonke welcoming you to a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, boy, does it look like a peach of a day today and tomorrow. Might need to burn off a little fog this morning, but that should be done by about 9 o'clock. Then sunshine on the way today. Looks like our daytime highs probably pushing in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight down to around 53. Tomorrow more sunshine on the way and temperatures again. Mid to upper 70s. That really looks like our pattern as far as weather until at least Thursday night. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, jumps on the microphone with us later this morning with all your weather details. And don't forget John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's going to chime in as well. Let us know what the market thinks about the latest crop progress report. Numbers look pretty doggone good as far as the crop of 2024. Now, remember, I've said it before, Wisconsin is kind of the exception, not the rule. We had to manage through all that rain early this growing season. A lot of other states did not. We'll find out what John has to say about that. And I have our young man, Ben Jarbo, in studio with me. Of course, he has just joined the Midwest Farm Report team. I thought we'd take a moment this morning, let you know a little bit more about that young man from Central Illinois. So a lot of different components on the way. You tie a knot and hang on. We'll be right back with Stephanie Hoff in just a moment.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Tar spot in this year's corn crop has not been a yield-limiting factor yet. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Damon Smith joins us. He's a plant pathology professor at UW-Madison and an expert on all things field crop disease. Damon tells us that the risk has been high for tar spot, but the severity level has been low. He's hoping the corn crop can hold strong for the rest of the season, but growers might have to step in depending on when they planted their crop.
Yeah, it's been an interesting season. We sort of have almost two different crops this year. So we had some farmers that were able to get in and plant early or kind of on time in April. And then, it started raining and we got stuck, couldn't do any planting for a while. And then there was another sort of later planted crop. And so... just from a disease management standpoint, that's a little bit complicated because we have to almost manage those two crops a little bit differently. And so it's been an interesting season just from that standpoint, and that I'm looking at a wide range of growth stages, and that sort of complicates the management recommendations I make. It has to be a little more tailored to the specific field.
And really, Damon, I mean, you're at field days, you're on farms, you're at the research stations, and you've got an app that you're gleaning information from. So if we look at disease pressure specifically because of how much moisture we've gotten, what are you finding?
If we talk about tar spot just specifically for a minute, if we sort of think about the triangle, right, the disease triangle we want, the pathogen there on the crop at the same time the environment's is conducive for the pathogen. If all those three things come together, then we have, you know, we have the risk for disease. And so the app sort of helps ask the question from the environmental side of that triangle, have we had that conducive environment? And, you know, unfortunately, for most of the season so far, the environment has been pretty conducive for the pathogen. If we look at the app, we certainly had some pockets in the state and some periods where it's kind of gone below moderate or high levels. But, you know, for the most part, the cooler conditions we've had this year combined with, you know, all the moisture we've had has made that risk generally high. With that said, you know, with that earlier crop, we're kind of outside the window or almost approaching the end of the window of opportunity for any in-season management in terms of fungicide applications. But we're watching that later planted crop very carefully because we're sort of right in the sweet spot right now in terms of making some of those fungicide application decisions. And so I've been taking quite a few calls over the last couple of weeks, as you might expect, just with folks trying to make heads or tails of whether they should be doing an application or not. When's the best timing? Especially, you know, we have some tight margins this year, and you know, anywhere we can reduce an input cost will help those margins.
And remind us, Damon, if tar spot does get severe, I mean, that can be pretty detrimental to a crop if you don't catch it, right? What exactly can it do?
So we kind of watch what's going on in that upper third of the canopy. If it reaches that upper third and it gets to be about 5 to 10% leaf coverage on that upper canopy, we can start to have some pretty substantial losses. You know, the bad years of 2018 and 2021, we saw some fields, you know, with yield reductions, you know, 40 to, you know, sometimes 80, you know, bushels per acre. So that's pretty substantial. You definitely want to try to avoid that. It's not uncommon to have some tar spot at the end of the season, but we do know low levels are actually not yield limiting. So while it's there and it sort of looks a little bit bad, you know, it's not the end of the world to have a little bit there. What we're trying to do is slow down that progression so it does not reach the upper canopy, because that's where most of the yield is set in corn, at least grain yield. And so, you know, we're playing a game here. We're just trying to slow down and slow that race to the finish, hoping that the corn plant can beat the fungus to the end of the season.
Yeah, and as you kind of outlined earlier, Damon, if you were able to get your corn established early, you're probably out of that window now to fix any tar spot issues. But if you did plant a little later, you've got some time here to solve the problem. What are you recommending? What should people be looking for in the field? Then what should they do about it?
Yeah, it's sort of a two-pronged approach. If you really want to drill in on this, I think using the app to kind of understand what the environment's been like, kind of making sure that, yes, the environment's been conducive. We do have local inoculum here. In other words, we're seeing disease pop up. So that means there's spores flying. So again, if we think about that triangle, that's all lining up, right? And so now it comes down to the fact, are we still within the tassel to kind of early milk growth stages? That's really a window where we want to, if we're going to do a fungicide application, that's where we want to be. If we're already kind of through that into the dough stage, which we're probably not quite there yet, even on the early crop, but we're quickly approaching that. We probably don't need that fungicide there. So if you haven't done anything up to this point, you're still not seeing anything scouting, then you're probably outside that window. But if you're starting to see it show up a little bit in that lower canopy, you're still in that sweet spot. You definitely planted late. You know, all of those things sort of come together, and you're probably going to need one application. I've been recommending folks try to wait as long as they can. I know plane availability can be an issue, but trying to wait towards that milk growth stage as best you can so we can, again, reduce the damage kind of later season is really important. A lot of our research says that one well-timed fungicide application in that VT to R3 window is really where you want to be. And so, again, that later crop is the one you kind of want to watch, and that may be the one you might need to put an application on.
To wrap things up here, Damon, I know we spent a majority of our conversation on tar spot, but is there anything else afflicting the corn crop this year that has you worried? Or do you think if we can manage this, we're in the clear.
We're watching actually two other diseases pretty carefully right now. So I'm seeing some northern corn leaf blight pop up in some fields on some known susceptible hybrids. So we're keeping an eye on that. So if you know you have a hybrid out there with northern susceptibility, that's something you got to balance with tar spot. Fortunately, if you're going to make a fungicide application there, there's lots of products that have good efficacy against both diseases. The third disease I'm really watching closely is one that actually does not overwinter here. It's called southern rust. It has to be blown up from the southern U.S. Into Wisconsin, but there were some epidemics in the deep south this year, and we've had some southerly to northerly weather patterns this year that could potentially bring those spores up to us up here in the north. I'm hoping in some years we do see southern rust show up, but it usually shows up in September, and I'm hoping that that's the case this year. If we can get into September even on both of these crops, we'll kind of be outside the window where we really need to do anything because it won't be yield limiting. While we'll see it, it's not going to take a lot of yield from us. So that is something I'm keeping track of. If we see it, we'll be sure to push reports out. Fortunately, we haven't seen it yet, but we're keeping our eyes peeled.
UW-Madison Professor Damon Smith is an expert on all things field crop disease. Tar spot was the subject of our conversation this morning, and he recommends growers download the app Tar Spotter on their iPhones or Androids. This is a tool for growers to stay up to date on the tar spot disease and assist farmers in making management decisions. As we heard, the risk for tar spot is high this growing season. The severity level will vary. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hawk.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for the Devil's Advocates. We're here in Chicago. The DNC is the occasion. All the political stars will join us at the table. Devil's Advocates, you gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I did see the moon. I'll agree with that. I'm kind of curious. Maybe I'll use this as our talk text fodder this morning. Are your pets what gets you up in the morning? We know that the cows are what get a lot of my audience up in the morning. They're pretty verbal when they want some attention. Are your pets what get you up in the morning, or is it going to be the kids in the next couple of weeks? Does the dog need to go out? kitty cats decide that it's time to be fed. Use our talk text line. Tell me, is it the pets? Your alarm clock? What is it that gets you up in the morning? 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Because I know if it's not just the cats, usually the hound at your house has to go out right around now. So a lot of that kind of activity.
It's turning out lately that I'm the one that gets up, and then they all come dragging out later. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, mine look at me. My one big dog, Granite, he looks at me like, what in the world are we walking around at this time of the day? And my other one, Bandit, he's like, okay, hey, open that door. I got to get out there pretty quick. Yeah. So
we're up. Let's go.
Yes. I gotta get out there. And where are you going now, by the way? So have a little fun with us this morning. What gets you up in the morning? The cat, the dog, the kids, what is it? 877-301-FARM. That's our talk text line. 877-301-3276. Nice to be able to have a lighthearted look at the weather this morning, my friend. And the reason I say that is today looks gorgeous. Yesterday was gorgeous. Tomorrow looks pretty doggone good. And like you said, right now, we've got a beautiful full moon out there.
Yep, that big officially super blue moon, I guess. It was bright. It lit up the kitchen when I was crawling around here early. High pressures over Wisconsin. We're in for a very bright, sunny day. Just a really fine Tuesday's in store. Temperatures on the cool side. I mentioned there may be 40s. Wausau reporting 49 this morning. So that's a start. I expect there'll be more 40s tomorrow morning at this time. Nothing drastic. I mean, no low 40s, but dropping into that 48, 49 degree range, that's certainly the possibility. High pressure's way off to the north. No precipitation to report from yesterday. Nothing around here for today. There are some showers in central and eastern South Dakota, far eastern Nebraska this morning. That activity will remain well out to the south. Low pressure trying to move east in Wyoming, not going to be successful because of this big, strong high just off to our north. So that system lingers out to the west. Oh, now and again, a few more clouds will blow through here, but we'll be sunny and nice right through today. Tomorrow, there'll be some slight chances of rain toward Thursday night or even Friday night into western and northern Wisconsin. In the south and east, not much of a threat at all. Really does appear we stay pretty dry right on through the end of the week. These nice temperatures, 70s for a couple of days, begin to warm up. And in fact, for the weekend ahead, I expect upper 80s in some cases. There may be a 90 come Sunday in western Wisconsin. I'll have forecast details right after
Dairy
this.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is dedicated to ensuring that farmers know how their contributions are being utilized. Liza Schlintz, Farmer Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, says to achieve this, they have several communication methods in place.
We want to make sure that we're not spending tons of checkoff dollars reaching out to farmers because that's not what our intention is. However, we certainly want our farmers to know what their dollars are going to. So every year in the fall, we submit an annual report that goes through DATCAP and then sent out to all of our dairy farmers. You're going to get a postcard in the mail. It's got a QR code on it. And at any time, you can go to wisconsindairy.org where that annual report lives all year long. We also go to several industry events and trade shows. And we also have an email newsletter that comes out once a month, and you can also sign up for that at wisconsindairy.org.
By keeping communication channels open and accessible, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin ensures that farmers are always in the know.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast then, if you can get the kitty cats off your keyboard.
I think they're moving out finally. Mostly sunny skies today, a nice Tuesday, and that high in the mid or even upper 70s. A lot of 74s like in Madison and eastern Wisconsin, upper 70s in the west. And the northeast and east breezes only about 5 to 10. Overnight, partly cloudy, down to 50 or some upper 40s further north as well with a very light breeze. Mostly sunny skies in store Wednesday. Back up into the mid and upper 70s with the south breeze developing, only about 5. Thursday, sunny skies, upper 70s, maybe an 80 in far western Wisconsin. South winds at 5. And that small rain chance in the west Thursday night, Pam. And another very small chance Friday night in the west.
All right. We'll watch and see. But today looks gorgeous. And enjoy that, what'd you call it, super blue moon right now.
Yep. Take a look. It's really pretty.
All right. Good enough, buddy. Clear off the cats. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher Ag Meteorologist keeping you up to date on weather. And David from Burlington is using our talk text line this morning to tell us they stayed dry in the past 24 hours' time. Question for you this morning, how do you get up? Kitty cat, puppy dog, what helps you get up on a Tuesday morning? 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Play along with us this morning and let us know what's happening in your world. Like we said, Stu Muck's kitty cat's walking across the keyboards. Hound dog needs to go out. Let us know what's going on in your world.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the midst of our series on protections against bad actors not certifying the presidential election, came the news of the felony conviction of a former Colorado election official who allowed election deniers access to her county's voting machines. A jury convicted former Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters on four felony charges for giving unauthorized access to the county's Dominion Voting System's electronic ballot tabulators to two election conspiracy theory activists associated with MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. Colorado Newsline reports testimony that Peters misused another county employee's identity to fraudulently give access to an official inspection of ballot counting machines by a Dominion Voting Systems employee and a representative of the Colorado Secretary of State's office. Election data was later allegedly copied and distributed online. The Colorado County Clerks Association said after the verdict, "Colorado clerks across the state are pleased to see justice done today. We take seriously our role as guardians of the best election process in the nation and are grateful to see the justice system hold those who would harm our elections accountable." Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold said in a statement, "Today's verdict sends a clear message. We will not tolerate any effort to threaten the security of our gold standard elections." We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Democratic National Convention underway in Chicago. Day one found streets around the United Center filled with protesters trying to force policy changes, matched nearly one-to-one by police.
Wearing their regular blue shirts instead of riot gear, Chicago police on bikes have kept the protests peaceful. Mayor Brandon Johnson says the blueprint has been in the works for years.
The city of Chicago is really good at things like this. It's the reason why we have hosted more national political conventions than anywhere else in America.
Another protest is planned for tonight by a group with an ominous slogan, "Make it great like 68. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Chicago.
Unsaid how they died or when, but Israel's military says it recovered the bodies of six people taken captive during the Hamas sneak attack last October. More than 17,000 AT&T technicians, field workers, and customer service personnel in nine southeast states are on strike. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four men accused of killing Devante Mitchell outside a Milwaukee hotel will stand trial for murder. According to the criminal complaint, two security guards, a bellhop, and a front desk worker pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. They're each charged with being party to a felony murder and could face up to 15 years and 9 months in prison. In a hearing Monday, all four were bound over for trial. They're expected to enter pleas on Thursday. And Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz are headed to Wisconsin Tuesday. They'll host a rally at Fiserv Forum. These rallies have become big, energetic events, so you can expect a lot of people in the Deer District area. Walz at the Democratic National Convention Monday.
Just came from the Wisconsin breakfast, and the blue wall is solid, people. The blue wall is solid.
Civic Media will have special coverage all week from Chicago. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers are in St. Louis tonight to take on the Cardinals, who are in second place, 11 games behind Milwaukee. The crew coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend. NFL, the Packers back at practice after losing to the Broncos 27-2 Sunday night. On Thursday, they'll host the Ravens for a joint practice session, then play their final preseason game Saturday at noon. Hockey, it was announced that both the Badgers women's and men's hockey teams will compete outdoors in Chicago on Saturday, January 4th, the Badgers women's team against Ohio State, the men's team against Michigan State. The Badgers men's head coach Mike Hastings on getting the chance to play an outdoor hockey game inside Wrigley Field.
Iconic place to go and watch a baseball game, let alone a hockey game. With having the Winter Classic, having the Big Ten presence, having our women's program there, these are opportunities that are lifelong memories.
That's Badgers hockey coach Mike Hastings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33 from the DNC. Hour number two, Dr. Kristen Lierley, now an official candidate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at only around 5-ish here through the day. Tonight, partly cloudy, 51. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 78 by Thursday. Partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Todd Alba Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Get Mabry some snaps with the second team offense.
Laughing on a Tuesday morning at some of your responses on how you get up in the morning. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke in the Midwest Farm Report. If you're just joining us, our question this morning, how do you get up? What wakes you up? Is it the cat? Is it the dog? Our kids? Maybe it's an alarm clock for a lot of our dairy farmers. We know it's the cows. Our toll-free number, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Use our talk text line and join us on this little quest today. In studio this morning, we are talking about it being the super blue moon Tuesday and also the 20th day of the month. Let's see. On this day back in 1938, a windstorm wrecks a canning plant in Janesville. A big windstorm ripped off almost the entire third story, and that was where the creamed corn plant was in Janesville. Windstorm wrecked that facility back on this day, 1938. On this day in 1920, a steamer sank in Lake Superior. It was because of a collision, and it actually ended up killing 28 men and one woman. That was on this day back in 1920. Boy, the people that we've lost, comedians that passed away on this day. Phyllis Diller passed away on this day in 2020. Remember her? And Jerry Lewis, comedian, passed away on this date, 2017. And now you know. Well, we've had a new voice join us here on the Midwest Farm Report. I thought it was appropriate that we welcome him in for the early morning chores one of these days. His name is Ben Jarboe, and he's in studio with us this morning to tell us a little bit more about himself. How long you been on with us now, Ben?
It's been about a month.
And now you're a Central Illinois kid. Tell folks where you came from, what your background is.
Yeah, so I grew up in Central Illinois, a small town called Paxson. It's about 30 miles north of Champaign, where the U of I is. There, I grew up helping on my family crop farm where we grew corn and soybeans. And from there, I mean, my love for agriculture just kind of started right there. I always wanted to be in the tractor with my grandpa, dad, or uncle, and no matter the season, whatever they were doing. I went to PBL High School, Paxson Buckley Loda, and after that I went to college at Illinois College in Jacksonville, Illinois, mm-hmm. where I got to play baseball and got a degree in agribusiness management.
Yeah, big pitcher on the mound, huh?
Something like that.
Now, were you involved in 4-H or FFA when you were in high school?
Yeah, I did some FFA competitions and stuff, went to Nationals for Environmental Natural Resource Competition,
sure.
and yeah, did some dairy and stuff. It was hard fitting it in with all the sports and stuff I had going on, though.
Yeah. Well, and so we've been teasing Ben. If you see him out and about, we had him running around at Wisconsin State Fair, and that you're not necessarily the depth of dairy information is kind of thin on you, huh?
Yeah, no. I like to eat cheese and I like to drink milk, and after that it kind of goes over my head a little bit.
You know, that's all we asked of him on the resume. Just eat cheese, drink milk, might be another beverage on there that the farm team is frequently hoping to enjoy, but good deal. All right, now what's the story that you've got for us this morning, Ben?
Yeah, so I'm a big fisherman, and one of the first stories I went out to do, I went over to Rushing Waters Trout Farm in Palmyra and got to talk to Peter Fritch, who's the president and owner of Rushing Waters. And he was able to give me a little insight on how they stock their ponds and the reasoning they stock them in this certain way.
So on the farm, we've got 56 ponds. About 44 are full of trout. And then we keep everything by size. You know, one thing you learn early on as a fish farmer is you can't mix your little baby fish with your big fish. For the fishermen out there listening, you know why. You do that once, it's a mistake. So all of our ponds are kept by size, and then they move through the system by size. So we have to grade our fish probably 2 to 3 times through a life cycle so that we try to maintain that same size variation. Otherwise, predation and cannibalism will take control.
Yeah, and while I was there, I got the opportunity to catch my own rainbow trout and have it filleted. And while I was wetting a line out there, he was giving me a little bit more of a look into what there is for the public to do around their farm.
But for the public, we are open actually 7 days a week. Yeah, we've got a farm store on site. You can come on out and buy our fresh fish, our smoked fish, some of our favorites like our smoked trout spread, smoked salmon spread, all available 7 days a week. And as you mentioned, the fishing. We have a fishing park where you can bring your family and friends out. We have all the gear. We give you the worms and we give you, you know, everything you need. You catch them. We will then clean them for you, put them on ice. It's a lot of fun. No license is needed. And honestly, it's fun for us to see people just enjoying Mother Nature and catching fish.
Yeah, and as one of my first stories, I thought it'd be cool to go after something that I really enjoy, like fishing. I mean, I go fishing all the time, but I never get to see a fish farm.
Well, and believe me, I've been to Rushing Waters, beautiful facility, and that fellow's name again is what?
Ben Jarbo. No, oh, mine? Yeah. Oh, sorry, his. Peter Fritch, I'm sorry.
No, Peter Fritch down at Rushing Waters. I took my nephew. It's one of those where you are guaranteed you're going to get a fish. No problem on that. But like you said, for a lot of people that are inexperienced, it's nice to be able to have somebody dress it out for you beautifully like that so you can take it home, put it on the grill or in the oven, whatever the case may be. Good job, Ben. Appreciate it. Ben Jarbo in studio with us again. Brand new voice you're going to hear here on the Midwest Farm Report, trying to learn the ropes this morning as far as the show, and not necessarily the best of teachers here. I'm giggling, though, at all of you responding to our question for the talk text line on how do you get up? What wakes you up at this time of the day? Is it the kitty cats crawling across your pillow, you know, starting to purr in your ear like they're hungry? The puppy dogs that are putting their feet up on your bed like, hello, mom and dad, come on, let's go. Is it the kids or what is it? Happy birthday to David in West Bend this morning. He says his girls, Ella and Marlo, get him up every morning. Songbirds, Stephen Hartford says, get him up. And he says, then I'm also hearing from Dell in Madison about the kitty cats that beat the clock or tap him on the paw to assist the alarm. One somebody else said, whether the power goes out or not, the pets are always on time. He said, if I look at my watch and what time they're getting me up, they're always online. You want to play along on a Tuesday morning? We don't have anything to worry about weather-wise. We hopefully don't have anything to worry about on the markets. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Play along this morning. What gets you up in the morning?
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info. On Monday, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was in Wisconsin visiting the Milwaukee area. It's been about a year since USDA sent out monies to its Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program recipients. The goal? To fight climate change, but still supporting American agriculture. Wisconsin has 28 climate smart projects that are working with hundreds of farmers across 46 major commodities in our state. Vilsack gave an example of one of the projects he highlighted during a town hall meeting in Milwaukee yesterday.
We heard from the DeLong company today that has an interesting relationship with a distillery that's making vodka, gin, and bourbon here in Milwaukee, and using a product that was produced by Wisconsin producers to be able to make those spirits. And they're excited about the fact that they have over 300,000 acres engaged in this activity as one of our climate smart projects.
U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack talking about the port facility that the DeLong company has been working on, some of the practices they've got in place. There are 118 different climate smart practices currently being implemented on Wisconsin farms, according to Vilsack. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning trending lower. We'll talk about this with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, in just a moment. December corn right now is down a penny at 3.99 and a half. November soybeans on a Tuesday morning down 4 at 9.72 and a quarter. The September wheat's down about a penny at 5.27 and a half. No change on barrel or block cheese on Monday. The AA butter, though, gained a half a cent to 3.18 and a half. September class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning, that's up a nickel at 22.35 a hundredweight. October's up a penny, 22.46 a hundredweight. All right, time for a quick break. We'll take a look at what's going on in the marketplace for a Tuesday morning through the eyes of commodity broker John Heinberg, joining us live from his West Bend office next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
The next Nightlight is only available on Facebook, X, and YouTube. I discuss America's favorite movie snack with popcorn guru Chris Anderson. And award-winning director Justin Superstar joins me to talk about his new film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And 3276, our talk text line. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joins us. All right, what helps you rise and shine at this time of the day, dude?
I unfortunately have three house cats, and they get hungry about this time of the morning, so they're waking me up usually.
That's what our weather guy said. Kitty cats got up this morning and were walking all over his keyboard. That can be occupationally dangerous for you, though, as a commodity broker.
Yeah, some days it could be. At least we got the double fat finger rule that we can protect ourselves. So.
All right, let's talk about it. In all seriousness, though, markets are under a little pressure again this morning. I think a lot of farmers are starting to realize what kind of potential they've got out there as far as the corn and beans. Let's talk a little bit. Pro Farmer Crop Tour started yesterday, John. What's the early conversation?
Yeah, Pro Farmer got rolling yesterday for the first day. You know, and obviously, it's probably the most publicized and anticipated tour, you know, at least getting out in the fields and getting some boots on the ground. Other ones have been already kind of rolling. But again, you know, Pro Farmer just kind of dominates the media side of things there. But they put out their Ohio results, South Dakota results yesterday. You know, and the biggest thing when we talk about Pro Farmer, make sure we're thinking about what we use the numbers for. They're not a USDA validator or, you know, proving what the USDA is putting out there for those August numbers. The best way to take the numbers is to kind of compare it to the previous year or the year before that, and then you kind of see the trend, at least where the crop is going for both corn and soybeans. So here's what we saw. Ohio yesterday and then their first checks came in at 183.2 bushels per acre, or 183.3. You know, compared to last year, we're at 183.9 in Ohio. So we're very similar to last year's crop in Ohio. Last year, obviously, nationally, we were a record crop in terms of bushels. So, again, we're at least seeing something trending towards a very good size crop there, at least in that state. Same thing in South Dakota, 156.5. Last year, they were 157.4. So South Dakota looks like, at least according to their trials and polls in the fields, it's going to have a crop very similar to last year, just slightly under. So, again, now they'll start moving into probably some of the better areas as they work towards the center of their crop tour plan.
Does the commodity market pay attention to this information, John? I absolutely get you that this is not a USDA, vetted group, but it is a lot of agronomists, a lot of industry leaders. Do brokers on the floor, brokers trading, pay attention?
I do think the algos and the computers were part of the trading. You know, we had a pretty good day yesterday. It's 20 cents up in beans and 6-7 cents higher in corn. You know, and as numbers were coming through, you know, I think the market was reacting to them because we were seeing a lot of variability during the day yesterday. You know, and in this world of the algo traders and the computers sitting there reading social media and everything else and posts of that nature, you know, everybody was maybe having things set for a monster crop. And, you know, again, they were in probably some of the softer areas where there was probably some more problems, especially out in, you know, Ohio and, mm-hmm. and some of their weather conditions. I think the market reacted to it slightly yesterday. Now we'll see. Again, it's probably got more impact now than it should in terms of longer-term view of things. And again, obviously, that's just because of the way things are traded nowadays with the volatility and the quickness of these computers and these algo programs that can just read information and trade accordingly.
Right. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. TotalFarmMarketing.com is their website. If you want to talk to them, 800-334-9779. I mentioned at the outset, farmers are probably getting a grip on what we've got to work with. Some may have forward contract a little bit of this crop, but what am I going to do with the extra, John?
Yeah, there's a couple things I've been talking with guys about right now. Now, we got a lot of bushels moving. That's some of the reason the market just hasn't rallied here at all over this time frame. Now we're in that window where September basis contracts are going to need to get priced out. That's going to keep pressure on the market. What do I do with these bushels is the question I'm kind of getting from a lot of guys. Obviously, the biggest concern I have for people, if you are moving things now or off the combine, you know, this fall, going right to the elevator. Don't fall asleep on being aggressive in terms of that marketing plan. If you know those bushels have to move, watch your basis, get things going. It's very easy to go ahead and make the sales, pick up some calls to keep yourself open to the top side if you have to. Maybe this is a window that you worry about that basis area, because we could have a pretty big quagmire of bushels at the elevator here come the harvest window, and we could see basis levels really slip. So there's just some things producers just need to push the pencil on here and get prepared for this crop coming this fall, and then start asking those questions for the elevator, or reach out to someone like me that we can look at some different ideas how to kind of keep you in the game in case you have to get those bushels moved without storage. With the carry in the market, storing this crop is probably going to be a negative idea, because again, when you get big crops, that carry has a tendency to continue to disappear. And obviously with interest rates where they are, the cost of storing that grain, and then the possibility of losing that carry could be a real negative proposition.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, live with us on the Midwest Farm Report for a Tuesday. Follow up with John on these questions. TotalFarmMarketing.com, their website, 800-334-9779 is his phone number. You can still talk and text us what wakes you up in the morning. Kitty cat, puppy dog, 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on.
Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
With a potential record U.S. soybean crop this year, look for a spike in export volume. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
With potentially the largest ever soybean crop expected this year in the U.S., there's more to go around in meeting global demand. Here's Mark Jekanowski, chair of the World Agricultural Outlook Board.
In terms of the U.S. production estimate, yield was raised by 1.2 bushels per acre, and harvested area was also increased by 1 million acres. So that adds up to production increase of about 154 million bushels this month alone. So we're looking at a total production of just about 4.6 billion bushels, up about 425 million bushels year over year. And with that bigger crop, we anticipate that some of that's going to be exported.
How much is some, according to Jekanowski?
Given those larger supplies, we raised our export forecast by 25 million bushels, and the bulk of the rest of it just ends up in ending stocks. So the ending stocks forecast was raised 125 million bushels. Now it is forecast at 560 million bushels, and that would be up 215 million year over year.
Of course, there's always a downside. Well, the good news for U.S. soybean growers is the prospect of a huge crop that's also led to lower market prices for soybeans. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're live on location for the Democratic National Convention here at the United Center in Chicago. Great guest, Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey,
there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. How we think about money can affect how we feel about ourselves, which is why I think it's worth reminding all of us that your net worth is not your self-worth. Your net worth, however much money you do or don't have, is not your self-worth. Money is not something to be worshipped, regardless of what the internet or social media tells us. And money is not something to be ignored. I mean, I've been there. I've not paid attention to my money. And let me tell you, that doesn't help either. Money is a tool. You can learn how to use it, how to make it work for you, how to take care of it, and how not to let it control your head or your heart through obsession or worry. We can all be good at managing our money. If I can do it, anyone can do it. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden on